Welcome to Marvel.
Heavy breathing. Yeah. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's go. Afternoon podcasts have a bit more energy than those 7 a.m. podcasts from yesterday, huh? You can tell I'm fired up and ready to go for today's episode. We have the other six managers teams on the draft grade episodes. I was loving the just the spark of energy from the yesterday's podcast, and I can admit that I kind of ignited some of those sparks in the chat, but I was also getting side texts from managers and, you know, wanting more explanation on some of their players and teams. And, I wasn't super analytical yesterday. It's not like I have a script in front of me, but this is a lot of research that I do over the summer. And it all comes down to sometimes they're mostly according to ADP. So, comparing players, I have no idea what the outcome is going to be. I don't know who's going to be healthy. As you know, this is still just for fun, but I have just some gut feelings on players, as do you guys. And then I really try to back up those gut feelings throughout the summer because I start researching early, end of May, early June. I get those feelings about players, and then I either squash them with analytics or it just enhances them. Like, I'm going to talk about some players today that, maybe was with some more analytics compared to yesterday. And I'll show you kind of why I'm into them so much. And I promise during the season, I'll try to use definitely some more stat-based reasoning compared to what I did yesterday. But I had fun. This is fun for me. I think it's almost selfish. Like, here, listen to my podcast on my feelings towards your drafted team. But from the feedback I got, it seems like you guys are having a good time with it too. So no sense in stopping it now. Again, let's see how I do compared to those flimsy ESPN rankings that were handed out. My rankings are very different. And I know mine aren't rankings, they're grades and predicting the playoffs. But basically, like I said, I screenshotted them yesterday. So we're going to take a look and compare at the end of the year and see how I did. Without any further ado, let's get into day two of the draft grades. All right, let's get into it with our first team. Our first team in grade is going to be a team where I think they're going to be very happy if I'm wrong here. A team that selected almost all of my favorite breakout picks and a couple sleeper picks and all my favorite upside picks. And I mean all. A team with a high-end tight end and a pretty good quarterback. I'm talking about Mr. Fahrenheit, the four-time champions team. So that's a lot to say this. I when you pick from the 12 spot in four different leagues, don't ask me how that happened. I've been mock drafting now since June. So you tell me, maybe I mock drafted too much. I don't think so. I did my homework. But I ended up with a lot of my favorite players from those mocks. The problem is I took all the upside guys and didn't sprinkle in a lot of proven veterans. One exercise that I like to do with my teams, and after you do this exercise, if you want to try it out, it's up to you to determine what it all means, but this is what I like to do. Instead of naming your players on the roster, you go through and give them titles like upside, established veteran, you know, breakout potential. So I'm going to do that with my squad. First, let me introduce you to my squad. Quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Running backs, Tony Pollard and Jahmyr Gibbs. Wide receivers, Garrett Wilson and Jahan Dotson. Tight end, Darren Waller. Flex, Ken Walker. Other flex is Jeff Wilson Jr. with Jerry Jeudy first off the bench. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy would be inserted in the double flex position when he's healthy. So let's do that exercise real quick. I'm going to just give the names of my players a title. Trevor Lawrence, upside. Tony Pollard, upside. Jahmyr Gibbs, upside. Garrett Wilson, upside. Jahan Dotson, upside. Darren Waller, established veteran. Ken Walker, upside. Jeff Wilson, established veteran. There's not a lot of proven commodities on my team, and that's what worries me. To go back to my draft grade of Joe Chick, I have to be fair here. I love Darren Waller because he could be the Giants' target leader and reception leader as a tight end. To me, that's a big deal. But what I said yesterday about George Kittle, is he going to play 17 games? He's always injured, this and that. I have to say the same exact thing for Darren Waller. Are we to believe that Darren Waller is going to play a full season? Last year, he missed 8 games. Can this guy repeat what he did a few years ago on the Raiders? I believe he was the tight end 2 on the year before Andrews kind of took off. I believe he can. And this is why I can't really fault Joe Chick for his Kittle pick, who he picked after I picked Waller. So just being fair to Joe Chick there, Kittle was more healthy than Darren Waller is. However, I think Darren Waller is going to push for over 120 targets this year. And if he gets over 120 targets, look out. We could have a tight end 2 here. So I'm going a little too far here on Darren Waller. But the rest of my squad, again, they're all my favorite upside players, but I really failed to mix in some veterans. I also have Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston on my bench, 2 more rookies. Ty Chandler, another rookie running back. So a lot can go wrong on this team because I don't have those Deontay Johnsons of the world, Keenan Allen. It's a lot of upside. So here's what I'm saying. This is not a reverse psychology thing. I mean what I say here. I think I'm out of the playoffs. It's a lot to ask to hit on 8 young players to all break out. I know I don't need all 8, but I'm going to say I'm out of the playoffs. But if I make it, maybe this is hedging. If I make it, I'm in the championship. So, you know, I'll still take the L though. If I make it to the championship, I'll take the loss on predicting my team's future. But this is a championship team, or it's, bro, you're out of the playoffs because these guys are on teams with established veterans and it's just not their time yet. Like Jahmyr Gibbs, I love his potential, but David Montgomery's there, who has been known to handle over 300 touches. But I'm following the draft capital of Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he can be the new Alvin Kamara. And here's a stat on Tony Pollard before I leave with, you know, my team. Maybe you guys have Tony Pollard in other leagues. Tony Pollard, when he receives 55% of the snap share for the Dallas Cowboys, 22 fantasy points per game. That's no joke. Zeke Elliott's gone now. I'm not asking for Pollard's body to hold up with 75% of the snaps. I just need 55% of the workload to go to Pollard. And I think I have myself the RB1 on the season. That's a hot take. Bookmark it. Tony Pollard, #1 running back in fantasy football at the end of the year. So my draft grade is going to be a B-, just like Greg's. But I had Greg in the playoffs, more stable team. I have myself out of the playoffs. All right, next up is going to be Josh's team, Chicken Tendies. And we're looking at a team of quarterback Justin Herbert, running backs Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs, wide receivers Chris Olave, Christian Kirk, tight end Kyle Pitts, flex Aaron Jones. The other flex position will be Treylon Burks with Jordan Addison as the first man off the bench. This is just a beautiful build here by Josh. Justin Herbert has already had a season throwing over 40 touchdowns. He had a tough year last year, but come on, dude had a broken rib. He lost Keenan Allen for a little while. He lost Mike Williams for a little while. Now that part I'm concerned about because those guys flip-flop being injured so often, but they still have Josh Palmer. They just drafted Quentin Johnston in the first round, so he's most likely going to have a nice role there. They still have Gerald Everett. And oh, by the way, you're throwing to Austin Eckler like 10 times a game. So that those yards are going to pour in. It's just a matter of if he can get some touchdowns and see if he can get a couple touchdowns with his legs too. We need Justin Herbert to start running again. But Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs. Jacobs is back. Hopefully he'll be ready for week one if he can get himself into some shape. But those two guys cover all your bases. I mean, what a good foundation for you at that running back position. Aaron Jones as your third running back is unbelievable. We don't know if Nick Chubb's going to be super involved in the passing game, but even if he isn't, you still have Aaron Jones who absolutely will. And of course, Josh Jacobs can run for 1,300 yards and catch balls as well. So I love what he did there. Chris Olave is one of those high upside second year wide receivers that I really think is going to take a step forward with Derek Carr as his quarterback. We saw what Derek Carr did with Davante Adams last year. Now he's got more options than the Raiders had, but I really like, Olave here with paired up with, Derek Carr. Did you know that the Saints have, I believe, 13 dome games? That's wild. So Chris Olave is not going to be dealing with these high wind games in Cleveland, New England. So those targets are going to be good. They're going to be long. They're going to be hard. No, I got to stop. Stop right there. Chris Olave is going to be awesome. So let's do that exercise I did with my team, with Josh's team. This is called a balanced team. So we have a superstar quarterback, Justin Herbert. Superstar running backs, both of them, Chubb Jacobs. High upside, Chris Olave. Veteran, Christian Kirk. High upside, tight end in Kyle Pitts. I'd say still a superstar Aaron Jones, maybe one more year at flex. High upside Treylon Burks with another high upside Jordan Addison off the bench. I just think it's more balanced. You're mixing in established superstars, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, to go along with some of these young guys. He's also got, it's perfect. Another, high upside tight end in Dalton Kincaid. And if anything happens to Justin Herbert, he's got Tua just chilling on his bench. So I love the build, Joshua. It's going to be tough to compete with this team week in and week out in your division. I'm going B plus for Chicken Tendies, and he's in the Marvel Fantasy Football Playoffs. Our next team is going to be Gage's team, Dixie Normus. He went with Dak Prescott, quarterback, running backs, Javonte Williams, Isaiah Pacheco, wide receivers, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, tight end, Hunter Hurst Helmsley, actually Hayden Hurst, Debo Samuel at flex. The other flex would be A.J. Dillon with Breece Hall first off the bench, along with, I'll add in Terry McLaurin. Those boys seem to be injured. Otherwise, they would be most likely in his starting lineup. So let's take a look at the build here. It's an okay team. I love what he did going wide receiver, wide receiver. I believe three straight took Diggs, A.J. Brown, and Debo Samuel. He even mentioned to me that he was kind of using my team last year as a template. I'm not saying he copied it. He was mentioning that's just kind of how it fell to him. And I applaud it. I think wide receivers nowadays are very great for fantasy, that, you know, those high end weeks where you're scoring 150, 160, and you'll take a couple down weeks every once in a while. But those are the teams that could, you know, when you make it to playoffs, if you don't get the number one or two seed with the bye, you only need to win three straight games. Can wide receivers go off in three straight weeks? Yes. Obviously running backs can too. But my point is you want as high point total as possible, and you only need it for 3 weeks. I think it's harder to get to the playoffs than it is to win a championship once you're in the playoffs. You're only talking, you need three wins at that point. I think it's harder to grind for 14 weeks, to be honest. You got to really be buckled in, deal with injuries, be reactionary when guys go down, maybe a player's role changes, adding players. It gets to be a lot. So that's where I see a lot of fantasy managers, why they're not making the playoffs. It's not their draft. It's they really get burnt out by like week 8, week 9. And that's when you really got to start looking towards the playoffs and what you can do to change your team. So hopefully Gage can do that. So he went with Dak Prescott as quarterback. He had him last year, and I don't know, maybe he was happy with the production, but I think Dak is who he is at this point. So you could throw him in that established veteran, card. He's not going to give you any more than he's given you the last 2 years. Hopefully he can stay healthy. So Javonte and Breece Hall were interesting back-to-back picks, only because those are the two guys in the fantasy community that the experts are the most worried about. If you talk to, or not talk to, if you research some of the doctors out there that in the fantasy community, they're very worried about Javonte. And I know he's healthy and practicing and playing, and there's no reason to doubt him at this point, but they are susceptible by 20-25% for soft tissue injuries or re-injury. I mean, he had multiple ligaments that needed to be repaired. And the only, I told this to Gage, he's like, why don't you like Javonte? I'm like, the only guys that have come back and been top options for fantasy football with injuries like that were Jamal Charles, who plays a very specific role and was just elite as far as athletics go, and Adrian Peterson, who you can't compare anyone to Adrian Peterson. So I'm worried about Javonte making it through 17 games, even though he's healthy, which brings me to Breece Hall. Torn ACL, he's only 10 months out from that torn ACL. You got to listen to what the team's doing. I mean, I watch as much Jets coverage as the next man, more than anyone in this league. And the fact that they went out and got Dalvin Cook, and don't forget they also drafted a guy, I think there's some worry there about the initial first 4 to 6 games. He's going to be out there, but I really don't think he's going to get much more than 8 to 10 touches until they really ramp him up. And then once he is 100% healthy, I project he's going to have an awesome second half of the year. And Dalvin Cook's still not going to go away. They paid him a lot of money, so you got to follow the money too. He's not Zeke Elliott for $1 million. I mean, they paid a hefty price for Dalvin Cook. They're going to use him, especially down the stretch. So I'm concerned. Gage is going to be looking for he needs to have a good winning record, I think. If he could be like 4-3, and then Breece is just back to normal, Javonte has stood the test of time through 7 games, he looks back to normal, then I think we have a playoff team. If Gage goes somehow, 2-4, 2-5, while he's waiting for Breece Hall to get back and Terry McLaurin from the turf toe, that's going to be a problem. I don't think he's going to have enough firepower to come back from that. So I have Gage as a bubble team, and I have him at a B-. So he's right there with Greg and I, and I think he's a bubble team. So with some work and some energy, he can kind of fill these voids while we wait for Breece Hall, who is a top 3 pick for him, and he's on his bench. I'm concerned with those guys. And a guy like Isaiah Pacheco is a fine running back where you took him. It's just he doesn't catch passes. And here's a small tidbit of information. I guess experts say that a reception is worth 2.5 times more than a rush attempt. So I know he plays for the Chiefs and is going to be a goal line opportunity, but how many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes get to the goal line and not hand the ball off? He wants the touchdowns for himself with those little touch passes forward to Kelsey, and maybe they go to Pacheco, but Pacheco doesn't profile as a pass catcher. He's between the 20s, aka if he doesn't get a touchdown, you're going to end with 5.7 points on a given week. So not a bad pick because of where you got him. Again, everything is according to ADP, but I'm not sure he's going to be a super great replacement for Breece Hall while you wait for him. So B minus, and I'm going to say Gage is a bubble team. All right, our next team is going to be Matty Rivers' team, the Teddy Bears. Quarterback, Justin Fields. Running backs, Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. Wide receivers, Cooper Kupp and Mike Evans. Tight end, Dallas Goedert. At the flex position, DeAndre Swift alongside Michael Pittman Jr. First off the bench, Raheem Mostert. So right off the bat, I love, Derrick Henry and Cooper Kupp. Doesn't get any better than that. He's almost the quite opposite of my team. Established superstars. You know what you're going to get from them if they can hold up. Cooper Kupp should be fine. I just drafted him last night at pick 8. I think he's going to be just fine. It's Matthew Stafford I'm actually worried about. So Matt's going to be checking the health of Stafford every week. And hopefully the Rams can just stay in it where they're not going to have to rest their guys at the end of the year, because they project to be a pretty bad team, especially the defense. Derrick Henry, we know what we're getting with him as long as he can hold up. I think he's still got a year left. And even next year, he's not going to be a shell of himself, but I think he'll be around a couple more years. So no problem with those picks. It was funny in the draft room. I was waiting to see who the big reach was going to be. And I know like Alvin Kamara was taken really early later on, I think third or fourth round, and he suspended, blah, blah. The first big reach was Justin Fields, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. Matty looked at the scoring format of his new league that he just entered, which I commend, and he sees that running quarterbacks, who, by the way, are just fun to watch on TV, they score a lot of points in this league. And I've been mock drafting Justin Fields from the 12 spot at the end of round 5. Now, he decided, I'm just going to go get my guy, because at that point, I believe Hurts, Allen, Mahomes was already off the board. He's like, let me just go get the next guy, basically discounted Jalen Hurts and all that rushing upside, and he gets himself Justin Fields, and I have no problem with the pick. I think he's one of the highest upside players of the year, and you mix it in, again, balanced. You mix it in with a Derrick Henry and Cooper Kupp, and I love what you got here. Dalvin Cook's going to give you a really good opening, 5 to 6 games as we wait for Breece Hall. Like I said, they didn't pay him for nothing. He's going to have a significant role. He's back at practice this week. He's got himself 2 weeks to get himself in game shape after his shoulder surgery. I love going back with Mike Evans. I'm buying the fact that Tom Brady wasn't that great last year. He was throwing him jump balls, and I think Baker Mayfield's going to do the same thing. So why are we to believe Mike Evans can't produce for fantasy? He was the number 16 wide receiver at the end of the year, and I know a lot of it came in that week. Was it 16 game? he went off. But I think Baker could get it down to him. He's got some air yards that he can get. And top tier tight end in Dallas Goedert. DeAndre Swift, definitely an upside play. I think he's going to have more of a role than some of these experts are leading on, quote unquote experts. I want to see what the team does. Eventually, talent wins out, and I think he's so much better than Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell, we know what he is. He's not going to break out into this superstar because he already would have done it. He's gotten a couple starts before when Miles Sanders was injured. He was okay. DeAndre Swift is better than okay. I like the pick. Michael Pittman slid so far down in the draft that I think you got a tremendous value here. So I love your build. By the way, Raheem Mostert on the bench, you know, starting running back for the Miami Dolphins until further notice. Now, if we could project injury for a guy, it would be Raheem Mostert. But until right, as of right now, this recording, he's the starter. Maybe Jeff Wilson, you know, they split carries, but not a bad first guy off your bench. I don't really like the rest of your bench. You know, no offense. There's just that's where it kind of, you know, Jacoby Myers, Michael Gallup, those are the guys with almost no upside, but they can be plugged and played on bye weeks. So Maddie knows what he's doing. I can tell by the way he drafted. And I gave Maddie a B+, and he is in the playoffs. Nice draft, Maddie, and welcome to the league. Next up, we're looking at Elliott's team. He is in the hunt. Quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Running backs, Joe Mixon and Rashad White. Wide receivers, my goodness, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. Tight end, my goodness, Mark Andrews. And in the flex, Cam Akers and Cortland Sutton with George Pickens, the first player off the bench. Spoiler alert, I'm shaking in my boots. This is such a good team, Elliott. Nicely done. Elliott is a really good drafter. Tough luck. I thought he had a top team last year. If you remember, I gave him an A in the draft grade episode last year. He made it to the semifinals. He had a dominant regular season. And like I said, I think it's harder to make the playoffs through 14 weeks than it is to win a championship. He got unlucky in the playoffs. It is what it is. But here with this squad, it's unbelievably balanced with upside, with superstars, bona fide superstar, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. I don't want to play you. I hate that you're in my division. You snaked around, took Mark Andrews, a top tier tight end. You have the upside play of Deshaun Watson. He's such a discounted quarterback. And if he's just a shell of himself from the Houston years, you just drop him. So it's really no skin off your back. I love the Cam Akers pick as just an extra running back in your flex. He's presumed to be the starter, and he was unbelievable at the end of the year last year, by the way. And then Cortland Sutton, all of a sudden with Jerry Jeudy getting banged up and Tim Patrick out for the season, he's just going to be a factor whether we like it or not. He's a post-hype sleeper. I was high on him last year when the trade happened for Russell Wilson, and I was completely wrong. We all thought he was going to be the new Cooper Kupp when Stafford got to the Rams, and Sutton was a bust of a fourth-round pick last year. But where Elliott took him, it's such a bargain. And then George Pickens, that second-year upside receiver. And, man, Kenny Pickett was throwing some dimes in the preseason. It was against second-tier caliber defense, but what is he supposed to do? It's not his fault the starters weren't out there. He was throwing some nice balls out there. Excellent draft for Elliott. This is going to be the only draft that's in that A category. We're going A-, and there's no doubt about it. This team's going to the playoffs. Nice draft. Our final team is going to be Mr. Tom Beggs, the Pillar of Fire. Let's look at his team. Jalen Hurts, running backs, Ramondre Stevenson, Miles Sanders, wide receivers, Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore, tight end, David Njoku, flex, Marquise Hollywood-Brown, Mike Williams at the other flex, and first off the bench is going to be Zach Charbonnet. So I like the build here. I feel like I've been saying that for a lot of these teams today, but I did promise you four playoff teams in episode 2 of the podcast. Jalen Hurts is just such a good draft pick at the end of the second, the 2-3 turn, 22 touchdowns last year in the air, and 13 rushing touchdowns. Dare I say he has room to improve on those passing touchdowns, 3,700 yards passing. He can eclipse 4,000 with that elite wide receiver group and Dallas Goedert. You know, he could start creeping into the Josh Allen territory of over 4,000 mixed in with those rushing touchdowns. So excellent pick there. Ramondre, not super worried about Zeke. He's going to come in and steal a couple touchdowns. But somebody was going to do that regardless. Damian Harris did it last year, and we loved Ramondre last year. He was such a value. Miles Sanders was paid to be a three-down back for Carolina. They're not going to be a good team at all. Rookie quarterback, but they're going to give him all the work he can handle. And I think he was a very nice bounce-back player last year. He disappointed fantasy managers 2 years ago, but last year he was a pleasant surprise. I think Alicia had him last year, and that was just part of her unstoppable squad of Kelce, Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, and Miles Sanders, if I'm remembering that. Obviously, Justin Jefferson with the second overall pick. To me, I really predicted Taylor was going to take him, but like I said in Taylor's draft grade preview, she's going back to her guy, Christian McCaffrey, who helped win her first title. So that left Justin Jefferson for Tom. Not a fan of DJ Moore. I'll tell you why. It's not his fault. He's only ever been in terrible situations for fantasy football. You remember Carolina? He had a decent season, I believe, with Cam Newton, but still not a pure passer. Then they just started going through it with Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, guys. I'm trying to remember some of the names that were in Carolina with this guy, and he still produced some. He produced as much as he could with those guys. Now he gets a new, a new start with the Chicago Bears, and they are one of the lowest passing volume teams in the league last year. And yes, Justin Fields could take a step forward. We saw it happen with Josh Allen when he got Stephon Diggs. We saw it happen to Jalen Hurts when he got A.J. Brown. I just don't think DJ Moore is Stephon Diggs or A.J. Brown. I think he's a step below that, and I think the Bears have a philosophy. They're going to let Fields run. They like their running back room. They have three solid backs back there, and I don't think they want Justin Fields to go out there and throw picks. And I just can't project him to be a pure passer until I see it. So maybe this is an upside pick, even though Moore is more of a veteran. Maybe this is an upside pick from Tom saying, hey, I project Justin Fields to level up and throw, you know, 3,500 yards this year. Kind of Jalen Hurts threw for 37 last year, but I can't see it unless I see it, if you know what I mean. So that's his wide receiver too. Marquise Hollywood Brown, the vibes are low on Marquise Hollywood Brown. For some reason, they got rid of Colt McCoy, who was supposed to be the guy until Kyler Murray got back. And for what it's worth, Colt McCoy can at least hyper-target a certain player, and we wanted it to be Hollywood Brown. I was high on Hollywood Brown to start fantasy drafts, and now I'm super low on him. But we'll see what they can do with their rookie quarterback. I just don't like that idea, and I really do think the Cardinals are the worst team in the NFL, and I believe they know it. I would not be surprised if Kyler really takes his time coming back. I'm talking like week 6 or 7, maybe plays a couple games out there, and then they just shut him down. I think it's really going to affect James Conner. James Conner is known for scoring touchdowns, and I think it's really going to hurt Marquise Hollywood Brown if Kyler's not out there. So, again, he's in your flex spot, so you're not hoping for a bona fide stud there, but we have our concerns. With that said, your team in totality, though, when you take into account some of your bench guys as well, like Zach Charbonnet, who could split into Ken Walker's role, and a guy like Romeo Doubs, who is projecting to have a decent season if Jordan Love can take the next step. I do like your squad, and the way you play fantasy football, this kind of goes back to how I feel about Greg. Not the most scary team that I've ever seen. Jalen Hurts strikes some fear into me because I've had him in the past, and he's really fun. He can score 30 points at any time. But I am going to go with a B grade, and I'm going to say Tom is in the playoffs. So there's your four playoff teams today, which was going to be Josh, Tom, Elliot, and Maddie. I had Gage on the bubble and myself out. Again, not reverse psychology. I think that could happen. I think I could be out of the playoffs, but I don't think I'm going to be in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. I think I'll score enough points to stay out of that. That's going to be reserved as of right now for Jason and Ellie, and Jason and Alicia. See what's going to go down with Jonathan Taylor. And like I said yesterday with Jason, he's got Alvin Kamara that he picked so high and he can't even use him until probably like week 4 or 5. But with that said, that's going to end the draft grade special episodes. Just a couple weeks away from real NFL football. And I'm excited for you new listeners to kind of get the gist of how the regular season podcasts go. It's definitely a lot less rambling. It's more about the matchups and the individual fantasy players. I've gotten some good feedback over the years, and I think it's more of quick hitters, and it's usually just about 30 minutes per episode. And I thoroughly enjoy it because of how it's structured. So again, thanks for listening, and I'm happy that we got a lot of hype out of this stuff. Again, it's all just for fun. I'm no expert, but I do a ton of research. This is like my hobby, man. Like if someone said, what's your favorite hobby? This is it. I love the research. I love the grind. I love talking about fantasy football and more specific your teams. So I like when you guys draft teams in other leagues and you're like, hey, check out my team. And we chat about it. Like no one else likes to talk about your fantasy team. That's like a meme, but I will. So anytime you guys want to chat, I'm always up for it. But once again, thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys in just a few weeks for the start of the season. We'll see you next time.